You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said, here on WVNN, where I'm going to go now to one of my favorite moments of every single week. We get together, three of us, two other brethren in the radio world, and we do what we call the Grand Council. So I've got Dale Jackson, the program director, morning show guy here at WVNN. Do I have a Dale Jackson on the line?
Oh!
There you are. Thank you, Sergeant Jackson. So our other one, our buddy Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions, is airing out over Mobile and Baldwin County. Are you on the line?
I am present.
You are indeed present. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Copper, hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, we are assembled. All right, pronounce a quorum. We are in business. So here's the deal. We always ask each other questions. We go through the, you know, one each, and then we see how we answer. Nobody knows what the questions are going to be. I'm starting with Jeff this time. Jeff, you're first, bud. What you got?
Well, I'm going straight to the federal court decision handed down earlier this week. How should the legislature handle it? Hearing conflicting stories, one possibility of a special session or some sort to jump into action and redraw the lines. But the one I think the one I'm kind of leaning toward, way I think it's going to go, legislature just going to walk away from this and just see what the federal court does and not do anything, and then maybe the court probably comes in with its own plan, or I don't know. I think it becomes more of a spectacle then, because Democrats will start drawing attention to it, because Alabama legislature will be perceived to be defying a federal court order. But anyway, nonetheless, what should the legislature do?
Yeah, and to back everybody up who may not be aware what the court order was, all the congressional district lines that were just drawn last fall when they did redistricting were ruled to be in violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. So, Dale, you want to take it first?
Sure. First, I know Jeff hates my take on this, but I think it gets blown up in court. Jeff despises that take, and that's fine. I think the reality is they should do their job and try to draw the maps as close to what is needed in order to pass constitutional muster. If that does not happen, walking away I don't think is the right decision to make, because then you're right, a federal judge is going to come in here and draw it the way they want it to be, as opposed to the way where they'll just go, okay, that's fine.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, walking away won't happen yet, because Attorney General Steve Marshall's already said he's going to appeal it. And so there's going to be, and it's going to be a lightning round appeal, because they know we're up against the gun here. I'll tell you the piece that's not being talked about on this, though, that kind of frustrates me. I don't think the legislature's going to do anything right now. They're going to wait and see how the appeal goes before they make a decision at all. But the part that kind of bothers me that no one's talking about yet is, yes, the census data was delayed by the Biden administration. But even still, the legislature took a long time to come into special session to get the lines redrawn. They left themselves with no breathing room. And if they had acted on this a little quicker, they might have more time now to respond than to be told less than 120 days from the primary that the lines don't matter. Jeff, what you got on your own question?
Well, I'm not going to make it about myself like Dale, but I will say this. I think... when I say walk away, the legislature is going to walk away. That doesn't include what the attorney general is going to do. The legislature itself, there's a problem here. Has anybody heard from Kay Ivey on this? If the legislature were to try to tackle this problem, it would probably require some kind of special session, I would think, within the session like we did earlier this week. I don't think the governor is going to do that. I don't think the governor is going to call a special session, and the legislature doesn't want to validate this decision. It contradicts an earlier higher court decision. It's a very bizarre set of circumstances the legislature has to deal with, but I think they're just not going to, like you said, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to validate the court decision. They're going to see how it plays out in the higher court, because this federal court, this panel of judges, you know, two Trump judges and a Clinton / Reagan judge, were supposed to the two Trump judges were supposed to really be good jurists. Apparently that's not the case. I don't know what happened there, but that's what the list used to kind of make this seem like this opinion is the right way to go. Well, you know, to Trump judges. So, no, I think the legislature is going to walk away from just so they don't validate this decision.
All right. All right. Your filibuster's over. Let me go ahead and move on. Dale, take the next question.
Yeah, I thought that wasn't going to be about Jeff. Jeez. All right. So here's my question. It's actually about Jeff. So I was just talking to his boss down there, Sean Sullivan of FM Talk 106.5, and we were talking about the dust-up and what this will do for the Mobile area.
Yeah.
They could end up with two United States congressmen at the end of this, but it also splits up some of their normal allies in Baldwin County and Mobile and all those other places, Dolphin Island, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the real question. What do they want down there? Do they want to see a Jerry Carl versus a Barry Moore race? And if that does happen, does Barry Moore even have a slight chance to win that race?
Well, you know, Barry Moore did win against Jeff. What was Jeff's last name? I just forgot his last
name.
Coleman, thank you. Who was the, you know, establishment guy who had all the money in the world. And the interesting thing was it was right next door in the Hightower Carl race where they made Club for Growth out to be the boogeyman from out of town. But nonetheless, Club for Growth is what helped Barry Moore win right next door. So I guess Jerry Carl would have to pivot to his Club for Growth is evil campaign strategy again if he was going to do that. But I don't think we're going to get there, to be honest with you. I think it's going to wind up working out fine. But, Jeff, you're the guy down there. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it wasn't that long ago. Baldwin County was in a different congressional district than Mobile. It was in the Dothan congressional district. So it's not totally unprecedented that you would see something of this sort. But, you know, Jerry Carl's got the numbers in Mobile. It'll be tough for Barry Moore to win there. I don't know. It may be an election cycle like this. But there's certainly no appetite for two members of Congress right now, I think, down my way.
All right. Well, tell you what, let me jump on my question before we run out of time then. In the U.S. Senate race, and Dale, you had something, I don't know what that was on your Twitter feed about a poll, but I had been hearing, and I even tried to get a hold of it, but couldn't, that there is a poll out there internal from one of the campaigns showing that Britt has dropped into third place, Brooks has moved forward, and that Durant is catching up to Brooks. I'm hearing that poll. Are you guys hearing the same thing? And what are you thinking right now about the trends in the U.S. Senate race?
I haven't heard that, but I'll tell you this. It doesn't surprise me one bit. You've got ads out tearing Britt down. You've got ads out pumping Britt up or pumping Brooks up. So maybe that is the case. And then Durant, he's kind of just chugging along, an unknown, a veteran, a non-politician, someone new to the system. That doesn't really surprise me all that much based on what we've seen in previous polls. Does the whole thing surprise me? Absolutely. The whole thing has thrown me off. But based on what we've seen so far, that wouldn't blow me away.
All right, Jeff, with all your secret Breitbart handshake, secret squirrel stuff, what do you know?
Yeah, I have seen this poll, and it shows Durant ahead of Katie Britt. Look, I think there's a combination of things going on here. I think some of the stuff Katie Britt is doing is hurting her. I know some of these ads, I don't think they are helping her. Some of the stuff is actually taking away from her shots. Some of the stuff needs to be reexamined, get a second set of eyes on it. Maybe she's hit her ceiling, but I kind of question because she's not really taking much heat right now, but she seems to have plateaued.
Well, we shall see. And what I heard there, Dale, was Jeff has a copy of a poll that he won't share with us. But we'll get a hold of that at some point sometime soon. All right, Copper, move us to a break, and we'll finish up round two when we get back from this one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. We are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Grand Council, be right back. AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio solid conservative and just plain right. Going right back to one of my favorite segments of every single week. Two other guys joining me here that I love and respect, Dale Jackson from WVNN and our Jeff Poor guy from down at FM Talk 106.5 on the coast. So we're in round two of the Grand Council. Jeff, I believe you are up.
So Mitch McConnell says warning to Democrats not to outsource this new vacancy on the Supreme Court due to the retirement of Stephen Breyer to the, quote, radical left. just how much of a fight should Republicans put up in contesting the Biden Supreme Court pick? Because, look, they got some numbers. There's a lot they can do to slow this down and make this very difficult. Well, the 6-3 advantage on the court, how much of a fight should they put up?
Dale, you first.
Well, I look at it like this. What would they do? I mean, that'd be the first step. And I know it's not, you know, it's not right to do it just because they would. But I could definitely understand why they might want to fight like that. That may not be the smart political play. But look, in this world of division, it's a base play, right? Make them defend their extreme candidate. I mean, I understand insert black female here is the greatest Supreme Court candidate that there could ever be. But make them defend that premise that they had their bio worked out before they selected it. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and you know, go figure that the leading criteria to be a Supreme Court justice deals with body type and you know, your skin color. So, but all said and done, I hope that Republicans choose not to become the spectacle makers that the liberals were with, you know, things like Kavanaugh and all of that. That was unconscionable, and I do not want to be them. However, they do have the means for what I would call a good solid fight. They can procedurally do this without stooping to the levels that the Democrats did and delay the tactics, because Biden is up against having the worst possible situation where he's got a 50-50 split with a single possible vote to do a tie split if Republicans can band together. So I say they make it hard as possible, but I do not want to see us go down the nasty road that I saw with all that vitriol from the Democrats during our appointments. Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
I don't think they are. I think you're going to have Susan Collins, Murkowski, Romney, maybe some others that are just going to go along, give the Democrats what they want. This will be like one of those situations where, you know, it's just we already got the advantage. Why do we want to make a fight out of this? And they'll caucus with the Democrats on this one. And it'll be a done deal.
Yeah, they already caucus with the Democrats all the time, so I'm not going to be a bit surprised. Dale Jackson, your question.
I would like to point out that insert black female candidate here actually touched me when I was in high school, but we'll deny that.
Stop.
We'll debate that later. What? That's how we throw out allegations here to derail things, right? That's all we have to do.
Wow.
That's all we got to do.
Well, apparently,
right,
30 years
show,
ago,
Phil.
Still
you're
applied.
Letting this go on here.
I have no control. Go ahead. He's the program director. What do I do?
All right. Here's my question. We've seen what happened at Madison City Schools. The superintendent was like, hey, the teachers need another day off in order to do to catch up. And he's like, oh, wait, I meant they're really sick. That's it. And then you have a sick out down in Birmingham going on. Is it time for the legislature to put some parameters on this virtual learning stuff that they're going to start using to take days off?
Jeff, you first.
I don't know you want to go straight to the legislature. You never need to go to the school board first. And if that doesn't work, then you take an act of the legislature, but clearly something ought to be done. Yeah, but I think just we have such a culture in our education here, public education in Alabama, where it's like the teachers think that they run the show, and this is not how it's supposed to work. This is the taxpayer funded. There ought to be a consent of the governed.
Yeah, I did the whole first segment of my show. I call it my Triple Dipper. The whole first section of the Triple Dipper today was on, I called it Education's All About the Benjamins. And I covered down on that sick out they're having down there in Birmingham. And I pointed out that every single one of them still getting paid. They didn't not get paid to just choose not to come in because they didn't feel like it because they're scared. I think that, first of all, I do think there needs to be some parameters. And I think the state school board absolutely is where it needs to be. There needs to be leadership. By the way, the governor is the de facto head of the school board. So there could be leadership there too. But the school board needs to start saying, here are the parameters by which you can choose to put kids out on some measure of remote learning, because you're jacking up the entire family when you do that. And something's got to be done. I would prefer not to see it to be a legislative opportunity. I think the school board needs to handle it. And I would love to see parents get very active in insisting on that. Dale, your own question. What do you think?
I like all the things you guys are laying out there, but like you just said, the governor is asleep at the switch, apparently. At least that's what they think she's doing. We also have the school board hasn't said a word about it. It's school choice week. No one said a word about that thing. It just doesn't seem that anyone's really paying attention to what's going on there. And while this is happening, they're saying, oh, coronavirus, we're taking some time off. And I think that's crap.
That is crap. Because if you're scared, get another job. Yep. Because everybody else is at work.
Correct.
All right. Hey, so my last question in the minute and a half or so we have. Rumors abound. I have not heard any straight denials. So if you've heard one, tell me. But the rumors abounded yesterday that the quick way out of the Democrats' dilemma with their top-of-the-ticket race in 2024 is to go ahead and let Kamala be the black female who gets appointed to the Supreme Court, at which point Joe Biden can bring in anybody he wants who could then take over when he announces what we already know, which he's not going to run again. Is Kamala Harris a contender for the Supreme Court, Jeff?
No, I don't think so.
Short answer, Dale.
Phil, this is Right Side Radio, not House of Cards. So I'm a no on that one as well, because that sounds like a plot from that movie. Except maybe then Joe Biden would be making out with Vladimir Putin, which happened in that show, by the way.
I'll answer my own question and agree with you. It's not going to happen, but it makes for great Twitter bait. I will say that. All right, fellers. Good one, as always. Appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. That's Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, Baldwin County area, and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN on our weekly Grand Council. All right, listen, we're going to take a break here in a moment. When I come back, I got number three on the Triple Dipper. You're going to like this. It's a little fun, all right? This is where we get to laugh at liberals, because they need to be laughed at and because we need to laugh. But the whole segment I'm calling It's Raining Snowflakes. They are everywhere. So I'll tell you more about that when we get back. Like, I don't know, why are they scared of Navy SEALs who are training? Don't let it happen in our neighborhood. That's bad. And what happened when Neil Young said, well, I want Joe Rogan off Spotify or take mine off? That backfired. Phil Williams, It's Raining Snowflakes, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.